Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship, and Danny and I were just talking here about some of the thermal changes that we have had. And, you know, back in January, there was the need for heat, and found out that heat is a lot more expensive than air conditioning was. And so I was a little taken aback by how much electricity we were using just to stay warm. And most of the time, Wyrick Air, they don't have to deal with too many heating issues, but they can do that. If you need professional help with your air conditioning system, your heating system, or if you've got electrical issues, Wyrick Air has been providing professional services, sales, and repairs for 50 years. They work in residential settings, commercial settings, light or emergency service when necessary. They're light commercial. They travel all throughout Brevard County from the southern to the most northern. They strive to provide you with the best service possible and an affordable price. So if you find yourself in need of their services, you can give them a call, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. There were some new restrictions and equipment, things that, requirements that went in that were implemented by the federal government that started in January. And so you want to make sure that the people you're dealing with are going to be people who are operating with godly integrity. Wyrick Air does that. I was talking with someone, and I don't even remember who it was, about I do remember who it was now, that there were some people in the construction industry that were operating outside of the parameters of standards, and that did not go well for them. Wyrick Air, Dennis pastors a church here in Central Florida, so he brings godly standards, not just to the pulpit, but also to his business. 321-632-9538 if you need their services. So yesterday we started in Titus chapter 1, and Paul is writing to Titus and telling him about the people that he needed to appoint in these ministry positions. And when he appointed them, there needed to be godliness that was manifesting itself in their lives as individuals, but also in their households. If you listen to our program here, we talk a lot of times about our mission statement, and that is that we exist to be a blessing. That we want to be a blessing to God, to our family, to our church, and to our community. And that we don't want to just be a spiritual blessing. We want to be a relational blessing. We want to bless in as many ways as we can. But we word those in that order because the first blessing we want to be is to God and to his kingdom. And the second source of blessing is to our families. Our families need to see living, breathing, functioning examples of godliness. And we talked yesterday about children who are insubordinate or living lives that are out of order, and Titus had been given the assignment of putting things in order that were lacking. So our homes need to be in order, especially if we are going to be of a valuable servant in ministering to the kingdom of God. So what happens in a person's home matters. It mattered to Paul. It should matter to us. And so make sure that the people that you are, you know, serving alongside, that they are living it. They're not just passing along information that they have come along. So verse number 7 is where we're going to pick up today. It says, "For a bishop or an overseer must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict." So Paul begins to describe to Titus the type of religious authority should be in operation in these various churches in this region. And so he starts off with blameless, and the only way that we can be blameless is for Jesus to have forgiven us of our sins. Paul had been a murderer when his name was Saul. He was very zealous for the things of God, but he didn't know the God he was zealous for. God introduced to him in a supernatural way, more than what his eyes could handle. He was actually blinded for a period of time. God said, "Hey, there's a guy by the name of Ananias that's going to come. He's going to pray for you, and you're going to be healed." Ananias argued with God and said, "Look, maybe you don't know about this guy. He's really zealous in fighting against the church." And God told Ananias, "He's a chosen vessel to me. Go. I've told him you're coming." And Ananias shows up and says, "Brother Saul." He identifies that they share the same heavenly Father. And Saul gets healed and goes on to be a powerful servant of God who writes this letter. So the requirement is not that the person has never done anything wrong. The requirement is that they need to be living a repentant life under the authority of God, and they are pursuing the heart of God, the will of God, the plan of God, with the power of God to increase the number of people of God. That's the way that we are able to live a blameless life, or live a life above reproach. So, and again, there's always going to be people who have bad things to say about you. What you're looking for is to be blameless in the sight of God. And you're wanting to live a life that, say, if people ever hear a false charge against you, that they will recognize the lack of authenticity to the charge because they see you live. My job is not to keep people at an arm's length. My job is to let them see a person living a godly life. So I watched a documentary, and in this documentary, this very famous person was summoned into the hospital room to visit a pastor, and all, the truth of the matter was the pastor was dying. And he... as this very famous person came in there, they were having a conversation, and he made this statement: "I have showed my sons how to live for God. And unless the Lord does a miracle in my body, I'm going to show them how to die for God." And that was something this very famous person had never beheld. He ended up getting he ended up going there to be a blessing. The result was he ended up getting blessed, delivered, and set free. And his life was transformed because there was a person who lived it. He lived it in front of his family, lived it in front of his friends, his church people. And he said, and I'm not giving up. I'm going to give glory to God until my very last breath. So for 11 and a half years, so October will be 12 years of the Refresh Radio program, the number one compliment that means the most to me is when people have called the church and they've spoken with people who serve in the church or they interact with them in the community. And when the people have called, said, hey, I listened to Pastor Bob on the Refresh Radio program, and he just sounds so real. And I appreciate that. But the compliment is when the people who know me, who serve alongside of me, and when they respond and they say, that's how he is all the time. What you hear is what you get. I'm not perfect. You listen to the radio program, in my opinion, I say too much. I have some filler words that I repeat, probably because I don't want to be a person that has long pauses of dead air here, and I just fill in the space there until I can get the appropriate word out of my mouth. I don't consider myself a professional radio broadcaster. I'm just here to let you know that Jesus is very real and has made a very real difference in my life, and my job is to be real in front of other people. So in this passage of Scripture, there are a lot of things that Paul describes that the bishop or the overseer is not supposed to do. Okay? He's not to be self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. Then there's a series of characteristics that are supposed to be manifest inside this church overseer. Hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, have the ability to exhort and convict those who contradict. Those are the positive characteristics. I'm studying, researching. Can honestly tell you that I've never done a word by word study of the book of Titus until this time. Not saying I haven't read it, not saying I haven't shared a lot of things from it, but never, you know, just focused on what was said, looking up the meaning of the words and all of that for the entire book. It's not a long book. It's only three chapters. Don't really know why I haven't, but that's just the reality. As I looked at the characteristics of overseer and saw the things you're not supposed to be, and you saw the things that you are supposed to be, I realized that before both of those list of adjectives, there was a statement that is very, very important. And that is that pastors are supposed to be stewards of God. So when I talk about tithing, and I'm a believer in tithing, I also believe that God owns 100% of everything that I have, and if he wants it, then, and he says, I want you to give it away, then I give it away because he's getting ready to bring something else of greater good into my life. So there have been times that I've given away vehicles that I really needed to sell, and instead I gave them away because God spoke to us to give it away. My wife and I both didn't do it one way or, you know, one without the other. We did it in consultation and prayer, and there was a time when both of us didn't want to, but God wanted us to. And so we ended up saying yes to giving it away. And God brought something better into our life as a result of it. So I recognize that the things that I steward, they all belong to God. And so I was doing a radio program one time. I mentioned that I don't own anything. I'm just a steward of it. And so we teach stewardship at our church. That led to a phone call, and somebody said, could you explain what stewardship is to us? And so I was able to do that. It's one thing to be stewardship or to practice stewardship or be stewards of finances. Here it says that our responsibility is to be stewards of God. And so the steward is a manager of a master's house, a person who cares for its occupants, provides the necessary resources at the appropriate time, operates in the same manner in which the master of the house would operate. A steward is accountable to God for the management of the church and the mysteries of God. So I'm a steward of the word. We steward by using our God-given gifts to serve one another as the stewards of God's grace. So stewardship involves a lot more than possessions. We're supposed to be stewards of the word of God. We're supposed to be stewards of God's grace. We're supposed to be stewards who care for God's people. And we are supposed to be people who steward our relationship with God. In the Old Testament, the priests had the responsibility of every day opening the doors to the temple and making sure that what was supposed to be lit was lit, that what was supposed to be sacrificed was sacrificed, and that the access that was supposed to be made available was made available. They had to be stewards of it morning and evening. So as I'm looking at Titus chapter 1, I've got to tell you, it's not anything that I wasn't aware of, but I had never seen it in the context of this, that the primary responsibility of a pastor, of an overseer, of a teacher, is to steward the relationship we have with God, so that when people come in to the house of God, that the God of the house is there. There's so much that is going on in life. It is a 24-hour cycle of things that go on in this world, where at you know, my phone could ring in the middle of the night and I could get called to an emergency situation. That happens. There's a lot of business things. So back in January, Monday is kind of my day to debrief and regroup and refocus for the rest of the week and prepare for the rest of the week. And on this particular Monday, it was a day filled with schedule changes and business problems with telephone providers and other business things. It was nonstop. It was relentless throughout the day. By the time I got home at the end of the night, I had been dealing with so many problems all day long that I was ready to just sit. I don't think we turned the television on at all. We ate dinner and we just sat there, and then we eventually went to bed. The busyness of this life can be distracting. Right now, many of you may be either on your way to work, on your way home from work. You may be at work. You may be retired from work. But most of the people that I know that are retired are so busy that they say they don't even know how they had time to work before. So before we get into the minutiae or the broad spectrum of responsibilities of a person in religious leadership, I want to tell you that I want to do a better job in 2025 of stewarding the presence of God. You see, I look at that, and not only am I stewarding the Word of God, I want to steward the presence of God. Our theme for this year is to treasure God's presence. And I just don't want to experience the presence of God once a week or when I'm on the radio or when I'm teaching on Wednesday night. I need the presence of God the way that Moses needed the presence of God, where he said, God, if your presence does not go with us, we're not moving. We're not going. Well, I'm just setting this out there. I wonder what our churches will look like at the end of the year. I wonder what our marriage would look like at the end of the year if we suddenly prioritized as men, as women, say, God, today it's a Thursday. I wonder what today will look like if I make sure that I steward the presence of God in my life so that when I do encounter the problems, that the presence of God will be there, that the vibrancy of God's Word will show up, that the Spirit of God that gifts us to be able to see gifts of healing and miracles and unveiling the secrets of people's hearts so that they know that God knows where they are, what they're facing, what they're going through, and how to resolve those issues in a godly manner. Stewarding the presence of God. I don't have anything more profound to say than what a privilege to have a relationship with God. Now, let me bring that into an extrapolated context, and that is, if you have received a good and perfect gift from God, then one of the things that you do in stewarding your relationship with God is you steward that gift as well. And again, I want to bring this into the relationship of the home. You have to keep things in the proper order. And so if I steward my relationship with God, that means I'm going to be humble, not arrogant. I'm going to be pliable, not brittle. I'm not going to be fragile. I'm not going to be stubborn, not going to be arrogant, not going to be argumentative. If I steward God's presence, it's going to show up in the way that I treat the people that God has gifted to me in my life. I may not encounter a passage of Scripture that will impact me more in 2025 than Titus chapter 1, verse number 7. A bishop must be blameless as a steward of God. To be honest with you, I'm quite excited to see what Merit Assembly of God can become if, as treasuring his presence, we make this a priority. You see, it's God's house, not my house. It's the presence of God that makes all of the difference. And so I just want to set that out there for you. If we want to be people of spiritual influence, the only way that we can do that is to have a healthy, holy, vibrant relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When Jesus showed up, there were a lot of people who had head knowledge of the Scriptures, but they did not have a heart to minister. There were people who had a heart to see change, but they didn't have a connection with the Word of God. They just tried to do it out of their own zeal. They were called the Zealots. But I tell you, when we embrace God and we understand His will and His plan, and He gives us His heart to do the things He's called us to do, and we say, God, we are going to steward this treasure that You've given to us, there's nothing God can't do. I hope you will join me. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Waylon Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Waylon specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Waylon Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit waylonduff.kw. Waylon Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.